Well, welcome back to Chapter 8 of the Plain English Study Guide for the Amateur Radio Technician Class License. I am Richard Clem, W0IS. I'm the author of that book and kind of covering all the materials, part of this audio course. You can find out more about it at my website, W0IS.com. In this Chapter 8, we're going to talk about some of the operating procedures that are covered on the test. There's a lot to learn about how to operate your radio. But many of them are covered on the test. Well, as you probably know, you'll have a call sign once you get your amateur license. And the first letter of the call sign, the first two letters indicates what country the person is in. And in the United States, your call sign will start with the letters A, K, N, or W. It'll start with one or two letters. That's called the prefix. And then it will have a number. And then it'll followed by two or three more letters. That's called the suffix. So my call sign is W0IS. The prefix is W, the number is zero, the suffix is IS. One trick question on the test. There might be a question on there saying, how many licenses can one person have? And the answer is one. But watch out because they have it written in legalese. But it kind of makes sense. How many licenses can you have? You can only have one. You only have one driver's license, so you only have one radio license. But in particular, you need to know that one person can have only one operator/primary station license grant. So what they're really asking, how many licenses can you have? And the answer is one. How do you prove that you have a license? The actual proof of your license is the listing on the FCC database. The FCC doesn't routinely mail out paper copies of license anymore. Therefore, there's nothing to display or have in your possession. So you know that those are wrong. The fact that you're licensed is because you appear in the FCC database. And there's really no piece of paper called the license anymore. So if you get a question that says, do you have to display your license? Well, no, you don't, because there's nothing to display. When you get your license, it'll probably be something like, K followed by another letter, followed by number, followed by three letters. So, you might get KG0XYZ, whatever. That might be your new call sign when you get your technician license. You can get vanity call sign. You can request your own. For that, you need to know that to get a vanity license with your technician class, you can pick a 1x3 call sign if you want. There's an example on the test that says, can you get this call sign, K1XXX? And the answer is yes. If K1XXX is available, you can get it as long as you have your technician class license. Any licensed amateur can participate in the vanity call sign program. That's what you need to know about the vanity program. Just remember K1XXX is, yep, that's one you can get. Now, somebody probably has it now because that was on the test. But if it's available, you can have that one. You can get that 1x3 question. You have to identify. You have to send your call sign every 10 minutes during the contact and again at the end of the contact. You have to send your call sign. You can do it if you're doing it in voice, you have to do it in English. Or you can send it in CW, Morse code. You must identify any time you transmit, even if it's just a test. The normal rules apply. You always have to transmit every 10 minutes. So if they ask a trick question, well, what if it's just a test? Well, if it's just a test, I guess I don't have to do it every 10 minutes. No, that's wrong. You always have to do it every 10 minutes. You can add things to the end of your call sign. As long as it's not overly confusing. For example, they give the example of KL7CC. Now, the KL call sign means he's from Alaska, but he wants to let everybody know, I'm not in Alaska right now. So he sends KL7CC/W3. And you can say that in voice. You can say KL7CC/W3 or /W3 or /W3, as long as you're clear. To call another station, generally you say their call sign and then identify with your call sign. So you got your license, KG0XYZ. I'm calling you. I'm saying KG0XYZ. This is W0IS. When you want to talk to anybody in general, you send CQ. CQ means calling any station. Except on a lot of repeaters, you just say your call sign. You don't have to say CQ. But CQ means I'm calling anybody, any station. Before you pick a frequency to call CQ, you should want to listen first. There are two Q signals. Those are abbreviations. There are only two of them on the test. So just memorize these. QRM means you are receiving interference from other station. QRM, interference. QSY means you're changing frequency. So just memorize those. QRM equals interference. QSY equals change frequency. A lot of hams engage in public service activities, such as relaying messages, which is called handling traffic. The FCC rules apply even when you're doing public service activities. There are two organizations that provide communications during emergencies. RACES is kind of an official one set up by the FCC. It stands for Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service. The other one is ARES, A-R-E-S, Amateur Radio Emergency Service. That's more of an unofficial group organized just by hams. If you ever have emergency information and need to get the immediate attention of the net control station, it'd probably be a good idea to begin your transmission with the word priority or emergency, followed by your call sign. So just kind of common sense. If you have an emergency, well, just say you have an emergency. When you're handling emergency traffic, the most important thing is to hand it on, pass it along exactly as you received it. A formal message usually has a preamble, which is like the metadata. Part of the preamble is the check. That's just the number of words that are in there. Third-party communication. But you need to know what that term means. That means you're sending a message on behalf of a third party. You are the one person. The station you're talking to is the second party, and you're sending a message on behalf of a third party. You can send third-party messages inside the United States without too much restriction. One thing to remember, though, is that if you're sending it to a foreign country, so you're talking to your friend in England, and you say, oh, my friend here says hi to you. Well, you're not supposed to do that, because that's a third-party communication with a foreign country. The other country has to have a treaty specifically permitting that. So in general, you're not allowed to have third-party traffic with other countries unless those two countries have said, yeah, it's okay. Most countries we don't have that way. The only time you were ever, they shouldn't put this question on here. At least they changed it. They made it sound a little bit better. Don't operate on frequencies where you're not allowed to operate. But if you're on a sinking ship, and the only way to summon help is to transmit on a frequency where you're not allowed to transmit, well, then transmit there and get the information out, and you can worry about the legalities later. For the test, you need to know that the only time you're ever allowed to operate on frequencies outside your license class is situations involving the immediate safety of life or property. So if it's an emergency, yeah, of course you can break the rules. If you're going to the hospital in an emergency, you can drive faster than the speed limit. You can transmit on other frequencies. Don't make a practice of it, but if it truly is an emergency, then you worry about the legalities later. So that brings us up to the end of Chapter 8, and Chapter 9 will talk about some FCC rules that we have not covered previously. Once again, for more information about this course, visit my website, wzois.com.